$1 billion verdicts make great headlines. A $3 billion judgment against Philip Morris in a lung cancer case, more than $1 billion against State Farm in an automotive parts case, and $1 billion against ExxonMobil for contaminating property. Such massive awards are actually extremely rare, but the fear of being sued has changed people's everyday lives. NPR's Wendy Kaufman has the final report in our Changing Face of America series.
One of the most famous, some would say infamous, lawsuits of the past decade began in a very ordinary way.
Yep, right when you are.
An American institution, the drive-thru at McDonald's.
Good morning, I'd like a cup of coffee, please.
Okay, would you like a small or large coffee?
I'd like a small coffee black, please.
Okay, 108 second, please.
Just about everyone knows the story of Stella Liebeck, an elderly New Mexico woman who spilled a cup of coffee and was awarded $2.9 million. But not everyone knows Liebeck required skin grafts for third-degree burns, or that McDonald's had already received hundreds of complaints about coffee that was too hot. Nor does everyone know that the jury verdict was ultimately thrown out, and the party settled for a much smaller sum. The original award has taken hold in the American psyche. Spill coffee, collect $3 million. Here in High Falls, New York, the fear of being sued for large sums of money has put the neighborhood swimming hole off limits to all but a few. Michael Tausig, who lives on the water, still has access. We paddle upstream, away from the teenage boys diving from the rocks, then toward the spot that many say is the best part of Roundout Creek. A forest of pine surrounds the water. Purple wildflowers abound. Enormous white boulders, smooth and flat, are perfect for sunbathing and for climbing down to the water.
This is where people used to come in. This was so natural. The road, the bare rock, the water. And at this beach over here where the sand is, that's where you'd see a lot of tiny kids with their mums or dad or both.
But now the way is blocked by a 6-foot fence and a padlocked gate. No trespassing signs warn neighbors such as Susan Carlcrupp that violators will be prosecuted.
I would go there every season. I would go in the winter when there was ice. I brought my daughters with me. That's a very beautiful piece of land, very peaceful. And I feel enormously saddened that that land has been taken away from us. It would be great if we could have that land back again.
In 1999, the local fire district sold the land abutting the swimming hole to a private landowner who put up the fence and the no trespassing sign. Elise Sherrible is the fire district chairwoman and a volunteer firefighter.
It's stressful to go down there and be a part of somebody who has drowned. There's nothing you can do for them at that point. And you don't want to see this happen. And you can't risk it either. That's why we sold the property. We did not want the liability anymore. We did not want the headaches.
Beginning in the 1970s and 80s, the number and size of lawsuits began to climb. There were many reasons, including a large number of asbestos-related cases and the rise of class actions. Today, the number of cases is holding relatively steady and in some categories seems to be going down. Stephen Daniels, a senior research fellow at the American Bar Association Foundation, says if you study the numbers, you'll see that the concern about liability in lawsuits may be overblown.
This idea in the ether that people will sue at the drop of a hat is something that the evidence has never shown to be the case. Most people, most of the time, are not likely to bring a lawsuit. They're not likely to even make a complaint. They're not likely to go see an attorney.
Data collected from around the country suggests that of 100 people who are injured in an accident, say in a car or if they slip and fall, only about 7 of them will even talk to a lawyer, and fewer than that will sue. Whatever the statistics, the fear of litigation has changed our lives in many ways that may surprise you. Scotty Marable is a small business owner whose company sells home improvement products, such as kitchen cabinets.
So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what, about 12 of them that we have?
Yeah.
Gosh, these are heavy.
Yep.
Marable, who's the Washington State Chair of the National Federation of Independent Business, says she used to be able to call a former employer and get a detailed work history on someone applying for a job, but not anymore. based in part on some high-profile cases, employers are afraid that no matter what kind of reference they give, they could be sued.
It's hugely frustrating when you can't get information from somebody about what their work performance was like. You're depending on what they say in the interview. You're depending on how they present themselves. It's almost like having two legs of a three-legged stool.
She is not alone in her frustration. Across the country, comprehensive references can be very hard to come by. As she sees it, she and others are being hindered by people who have nothing to do with them, people who are greedy and who don't accept responsibility for their own actions.
So what they do is they find themselves a lawyer and they come after people or businesses to have their way. And as a mother, that's one thing I try to teach my children, is to be responsible and accept responsibility for your own actions. And too many lawsuits is not a good thing.
Whether there are too many lawsuits is a matter of debate. While some see trial lawyers as greedy and even evil, others say that many products and services are safer today because of lawsuits and the threat of them. Professor Valerie Hans of the University of Delaware says there are really two separate worlds in tort litigation. On the one hand is the run-of-the-mill sort of accident with modest injuries and modest recoveries.
On the other side are the high-profile cases involving product liability and medical malpractice in particular. And those get the most play in the media. So when people are trying to figure out what's going on in the justice system, the most immediate thing that comes to mind are, the $4 million jury award that some local jury decided last week.
Those massive judgments and class actions strike fear in the heart of corporate America. Wander the aisles of a Sears store and you'll see vivid evidence of just how careful and nervous companies have become. Today's warning labels are far more explicit and more numerous than in the past.
What do we have here?
Scott Morosco is the operations manager of a Seattle area Sears store.
We have some day restore in the cosmetics area. First item we came up to off the escalator and a warning right on the back.
I wonder if we can find anything that doesn't have a label on it.
That may be a challenge. We may be here all day.
We look at cosmetics, appliances, tools, and children's products. We don't find a single one without a warning label. Warning pollution is what some call it. There are roller sneakers that caution you to learn to brake before skating in traffic. A warning not to eat the paraffin in a home spa kit. A warning to remove the paper wrapper before putting a baking dish in the oven.
This is the way it is today, and if I had to look forward, it's probably only going to get that much more in depth to, you know, protect the consumers so they can use the product the right way and protect the vendors and the retailers of that product.
It's hard to say just how much of what's going on is based on a well-founded fear of being sued and how much is based on faulty perception. But whatever the case, because of lawsuits and the threat of them, our lives have been changed. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.